What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Okay, we are back. It's Thursday, May the 15th. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash, Pucks and Seven. Coming up in just a bit, DeAndra Liu will join us. Yes, she covers the Tampa Bay Lightning for the hockey news, but she knows a few things about the NHL, so we'll go around the Stanley Cup playoffs with DeAndra in just the first time, too. We've had her, Vic, on where we don't necessarily completely focus the entire segment on Tampa Bay, but we will talk a bit about Tampa Bay, of course, as they were ousted by the Florida Panthers, who did something last night to Toronto, which we why are you in blue? Tell everybody why you're in blue.
Okay, first of all, before we get into the garbage fire that was last night, we have to stay positive here. That might be the worst performance I've seen from the Maple Leafs since.
It was. Okay.
So I'm trying to maintain some positivity. So this is on purpose. I am actually wearing Maple Leaf blue intentionally, hoping to throw some positive vibes out there.
Yeah, they need it. They really do. We'll get into that in a second. That's a big story. Oh my goodness. That's the big story coming out last night. We'll talk about that in a second. We'll begin with that a bit. And then we'll go into Vegas and Edmonton. Congrats on Edmonton. Look, they're on to the Western Conference Final, which is incredible. Good on them. You and Owen, Jake Ottinger, an apology. Can't wait to hear that one. Mm-hmm. And some news off the ice, too, concerning a couple of head coaches now in new positions and also a GM, former GM, now in a new spot with the LA Kings, Kenny Holland. Okay. I'm going to begin this whole Toronto, Florida dissection by saying this. I will save the post-mortem, if it does happen, for Toronto till the next time that we do this, whether that is after Game 6 or if it goes to a Game 7, and if they lose, if that is after Game 7. So I'm not going to get into what are they going to do, the changes, all that stuff. Focus just on what happened last night. They got blown away 6-1. I'll tee this up in this way. The mic is yours. Go ahead.
Completely disengaged in their own zone defensively. Mm-hmm. Totally lost their speed game. Mm-hmm. Got beat in the face-off dot for the first time in the series. Got overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Not hard on the puck at all. Mm-hmm. I know they threw some hits, apparently 49. I remember about 4, so I don't know about the rest of them. And Ryan, there are
45 of them were to themselves.
I mean, there are hits and there are hits, and there weren't very many bone-shattering hits dished out by the Toronto Maple Leafs. They were weak in every aspect. Joseph Wall hung in there a little bit, and then he wasn't great after that either. You're not laying the blame on him by any extent of the imagination. They were lousy. Front to back, they were lousy. I think there are a lot of injuries going on right now, but you can't use it as an excuse. Everybody's hurt. Everybody's banged up. Everybody feels like crap. So you got to go out there and you got to put your best skate forward. And then just the effort wasn't there. Craig Berube said that they were overthinking matters. I don't think they were thinking about anything. They were so lackadaisical. They're just, it was so weak, Ryan. Mm-hmm. It was just so painful to watch. If you and I never would have watched it to the end if I don't cover this game professionally, right? Mm-hmm. But I had to give a comprehensive, you know, view of it.
And if you didn't watch it till the end, you wouldn't have seen the jersey being thrown on the ice.
There was actually a couple, too. I've heard from people in the arena as well. People were throwing their caps in the garbage on the way out.
Okay. It was pathetic. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. And again, you can social media blowing up over this whole team yet again. The narrative, why can't they do this and why does this always happen? Mm-hmm. I understand with the injuries, totally get that. Matthews, for example, he's hurt. And who knows if we'll know the full extent of it whenever the series or if they miraculously move on, because right now it certainly doesn't look like they will. Mm-hmm. At the end of whatever season comes to an end for them, and when that does, if we'll find out the true extent, we don't know. Who knows? I highly doubt it. But injuries, yes. I'm going to say this. Last night's game which was game five, was probably, actually, I'm going to change that. The Leafs have had some pretty important games with the core four era. Game sevens against Boston, you know, mm-hmm. go on the list, I'll get it, whatever. Last night's game was the most significant one for that group, not just the team, but the group in general, in the history of the time that they've had together in Toronto. And they blew it. They stunk. Nothing happened right. They didn't. The Mitch Marner play,
yeah.
that is pathetic. That is absolutely weak. And I don't know what was worse on that play. For those that don't remember, I mean, gosh, it's all over Twitter or X. Mitch Marner decided to, along the near boards, again, watching on TV, along the near boards, decided to kind of stop on a dime, do a little turnaround, and then do a back pass
blindly
to the neutral zone.
Yes.
Florida picks it off. They go back and they score. I don't know what was worse, that part of the play, or when he failed to get back and just make some sort of contact with, I forget who scored because I lost
track.
Right. So, and who was put into the lineup, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Because Rodriguez couldn't go, if
He's
I'm not
mistaken. He's
a part-time
player, Ryan. He's a part-time player, yes.
That, to me, was worse. That was worse than the giveaway. You gave the puck away, you skate your you-know-what off, mm-hmm. and you make some... Don't draw a penalty. If you have to draw a penalty, fine. But try not to do... But are you... That was... I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say.
Yeah. It's about... No, that's about right. When you
I'm sorry.
Watch, when he made a mistake, and he made a mistake, yeah. and people make... they're human beings. They're going to make mm-hmm. football moves, okay? And that yeah. certainly was one. But you're absolutely right. Hustle your behind off, get mm-hmm. back there, and play the body. This little yep. stick wavy stuff. And,
oh,
and it was awful. It was yeah. awful. And you the just can't lay it. You can't lay it on just one person. People are really
No, I'm
on
not.
The corner.
No.
I don't know. I'm not saying you in particular. I'm just saying in general. This
yeah,
was very
general.
Much a failed group effort. I don't think yeah. there's any discussion about that.
You know what summed it up? Couple things too. Give Florida credit. The Panthers are playing extraordinarily mm-hmm. well. And this is how they won the Stanley Cup last season. I'm going to just take this and then we can leave it alone. We'll talk later on. DeAndre, I'm sure, has some her take on this
she
as well.
Game.
I'll say that Tanev, who's been, I think, the MVP of this team for the postseason. Nylander's been great, a bunch of different guys, but Tanev has been phenomenal on the back end. He said this after the game, and this sums up to me what is wrong with the rest of the group outside of Tanev, specifically the core four, specifically Matthews and Marner. Tanev said, I'll take responsibility. I need to be better. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a minus player, probably not going to win the game, it's on me. I'll take responsibility for the game. He was a minus two. He was a minus two. The only Leaf player that had some sort of accountability last night was Tanev.
I think it's a big issue as well.
17 goal scorers the Panthers have in the first 10 games. That's depth.
But
okay.
last bit on this, Ryan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look who scored last night. Three defenders.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Including Mikkola, who has mm-hmm. 14 career goals.
Yeah, Walsh should have stopped that puck. He had to stop that puck.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So three defenders. Mm-hmm. We talked about Boakfist, a part-time yep. player.
Mm-hmm.
Greer, a fourth
yep.
liner.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sam Bennett scored a power play goal.
But it's pathetic.
Five
it
of them.
Pathetic.
It's not yeah. like they were getting overwhelmed by Barkov or Reinhardt
no.
or Bennett for most of the game. It was ridiculous.
Austin Matthews has three goals in his last 21 playoff games. We'll leave it at that. Edmonton, mm-hmm. moving on. They take the Vegas Golden Knights out in five games, which is, I think it was five games. Yeah, it was five mm-hmm. games, right? 4-1.
Yep.
Lost track last night because it was just terrible TV for the most part. Who else played? Oh, yeah, right. Anyway, McDavid said after the game, he said, look, the more we continue to do this and prove people wrong that we can advance and keep doing it, that's what we love to do. Give him credit. Give Stu Skinner credit, Vic. I'm surprised I had Vegas winning, and I think I said to you this last time we did the show this week, I've not given the respect that Edmonton certainly is deserving of it now. I didn't give them the respect against the Kings. I didn't give it to them against Vegas. You got to start because this team's really good.
Absolutely. And I think we're going to apologize. Well, I'll apologize to Ottinger in a moment, but yeah. I think a lot of us owe Stuart Skinner an apology. That's two shutouts in a row, Ryan. When
right.
we were all saying that he wasn't going to be good enough and it
yep.
should be Calvin Pickard's net. Now he's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
mm-hmm.
the only reason he wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, Stuart Skinner came out and he showed us hard and
yep.
credit to him. The rest of the team played well in front of him as well. Again, it's a group effort. or lack thereof, depending on what side you're looking at. But that was, again, a superior effort from him last night. And credit to him and credit to the Oilers. They figured it out. They figured it out for now. We'll see if they'll be able to continue to figure out whether it's against Dallas or the Jets.
And who had Kasperi Kapanen scoring the winner? Sorry, let me just go through this again. How many ex-Toronto Maple Leafs are on the Edmonton Oilers? Kapanen, Brown,
Hyman.
Okay, time now for you to make an apology to Jake Ottinger. Off you go.
Well, you should have apologized yourself to Skinner, but I'll move along.
I'm moving on because I still think Pickard's the guy. That's why I'm not apologizing.
Okay.
I did say because I got to give them more respect than I have, so that's my apology.
Half-baked apology, but we'll take it.
Whatever.
I really thought that Ottinger was going to have a couple of blow-up games. Not only this series, but
because he's done it before.
He's a hot and cold guy. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But he hasn't been hot and cold this postseason. He really hasn't. He has been hot, or at least pretty tepid in his lesser outings. And I mean, against the Winnipeg Jets, other than the 4-0 shutout that they lost, other than that, he has been a big part of their success so far.
One of
the big reasons that Dallas is probably going to move on. I mean, we can talk about that a little bit, whether we still think the Jets have a shot or not. But
they don't.
Honest to goodness, Ryan, he has been outstanding. So that's what I'm saying. Ottinger, Jakey boy, I'm sorry.
I love that. It's always good to get an apology. What did I say to you? I remember before the series began, one of the questions you had to me about Hellebuyck after that game 7 against St. Louis, when, again, the Jets just squeaked by. Let's not forget that the Winnipeg Jets just squeaked by. Remember when they tied the game late in game 7?
Against St. Louis, yes.
Yes, they just squeaked by the Blues, okay? So I remember you said to me, has Hellebuyck figured it out? I said to you, I'll let you know after games 3 and 4 in Dallas. He hasn't figured it out.
How can you say that, though? He pitched a shutout in game 3, okay?
But I'm saying...
Sorry. Game 2. Okay, 3 and 4. I see what you're saying.
You. On the road.
Okay, but still, how can you say that when Dallas... The Winnipeg Jets have scored 3 goals, total goals in 2 games. Hellebuyck can't score for them.
It doesn't matter. If you're a Vezina Trophy winning goalie, you don't give up goals. You win those 1-0 games. You win those 2-0 games. Connor Hellebuyck cannot win on the road. It is quite simple. Whether it's in the mind, whatever it is, he has massive issues. And there's no way, I did not think they were going to come back against the Blues, but they did. I really highly doubt that they're going to come back against the Dallas Stars. If they played every game in Winnipeg, and if it went 7, they have a chance to. But they just don't. And by the way, Hellebuyck came out after the last game, and he never speaks to the media. I didn't know this. He never talks to the media after a loss. And if I look back at the losses that he's had this postseason, you never see him. You never hear from the guy. But he did come out after. He was like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, backs against the wall, all this stuff. It makes no sense, Vic. It makes no sense why this guy, give credit to Dallas. Dallas is a good team, but it makes no sense why Connor Hellebuyck cannot stop a puck for the most part on the road.
You only let in, you can't score goals, Ryan. Sorry, I'm going to beat this one down. They scored 1 goal last game. You're not going to win. You're just not. So,
but
what happens? What happens in game 5? Never mind the series. I know you think that Dallas is going to move on. What happens in game 5?
It's back home. I do believe Winnipeg's going to stave off elimination. I don't think that they're going to win the series, but I would not be shocked if Dallas doesn't go into Winnipeg and takes game 5. I do not think the Jets have a chance to come back like they did, nothing like they did against the Blues, but Dallas is a very good team. They're a very, very good hockey. Here's a stat for you, and I have this on the phone. Most Stanley Cup playoff goals before the age of 22. Sidney Crosby with 24. Jaromir Jagr with 19. Patrick Kane with 19. All Hall of Famers. Wyatt Johnston with 18. He's fourth on that list.
That's incredible. Rising star for sure.
So you want to do 23 seconds on Carolina and Washington. Ready? Go.
Congratulations to the Hurricanes for seizing the reins in the race. I don't know. It's not exciting hockey. I thought the first couple of games were more interesting. It has since become less interesting. I wonder if they close it out tonight. I don't know. I still think Alex Ovechkin on the other side of the ice is going to have something to say. He's been very quiet this series, Ryan.
He has been. Yeah.
And I wonder if he still has a moment in him because he is Alex Ovechkin. I have a sneaking suspicion the Caps pull it off this evening in game five and they stave off elimination. But I think they're just delaying the inevitable. And I think it's going to be a Hurricanes victory eventually. They're just, they are so tight. They're so tight out there defensively. They're so difficult to beat. Yeah. And again, it's not the most exciting product on the ice. It's not the most exciting thing to watch, but they're getting their business done. You know what's interesting? I'm laughing at myself for this. Last year, both for the NHL Network, you and I had to make our predictions about who goes to the cup final and who eventually wins it.
Don't even mention, I'm so done.
But I was clearly a year behind because I had Carolina versus Dallas. With the Hurricanes winning the whole thing. And that could actually happen this year.
Sure could.
It was, again, I was just a little bit ahead of schedule. That's all.
4-0 in game three, 5-2 in game four. I will tip my cap to Frederik Andersen.
Stay healthy, buddy.
6-2, 141 goals against, 935 save percentage. The nearest or the next closest to him in save percentage right now in the postseason is Logan Thompson at 918. He's played one more game. You know, sometimes you look at the save percentage, you play three games, four games. No, this is eight. Thompson's played nine. And the closest one in goals against, again, Andersen at 1.41, Anthony Stolarz at 2.19. This gap is nuts. By the way, I think a lot of it has to do with the Toronto not doing as well. A lot of it has to do with Stolarz not being there. The team is playing differently in front of him than they do with Joseph
Wall. We suspected that might happen, by the way.
We did. No, we absolutely did. Yeah, we absolutely did. Okay, three things. Again, DeAndrelou is going to join us in a sec. Some news off the ice. We'll get to Kenny Holland in a second. We'll get to Rick Tocchet in a sec. But Adam Foote is now the Canucks head coach in Vancouver.
Interesting hire. I don't know if I expected that. Only because he doesn't have any head coaching experience. That's all.
Okay.
I know he's been in Vancouver for a while. I know the players are familiar with him. I know the D-Core is familiar with him, and they like him. And you know who's a member of that defensive core is a very important player named Quinn Hughes.
Think this is anything to do with the hiring of Foote? Hey, we got to keep Hughes because we know what Rutherford said not too long ago.
Absolutely. So if they do want to keep their captain, which has become a bit of an issue and a talking point of late, you want to hire somebody who he's going to be pleased with. And I imagine the endorsement was there. Adam Foote's a tough guy. He was a tough defender. I still remember him as a member of the Nordique, which I think is interesting because I know he played with Colorado and Columbus.
Agreed. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can still picture him in the Nordique sweater. Tough guy, a bajillion penalty minutes. So we'll see how that translates to the head coaching position, if he's going to be a tough coach as well, which I think might be what the doctor's ordering in Vancouver. So I do like this hire, but I find it interesting as well. It's also nice to see a team not turn to the coaching carousel, because we just get so used to the same characters around and around and around.
The recycling.
And I know some people are criticizing the move because he doesn't have any head coaching experience. Really, at any level. But I think sometimes a fresh voice and a fresh approach is also an interesting route to take, and maybe the best route to take.
And if the Canucks end up not doing well, then maybe they're going to put their foot in their mouth.
No, I knew something was coming. I was trying to figure out which direction. There you go. There's your one.
Foot with an E. Check. Rick Tocchet, hey, it's like a Philly reunion. You've got Keith Jones, you've got Danny Briere, and now you have Rick Tocchet. Bring everybody in. Who cares who you played for or coached before if you're some type of time with the Philadelphia Flyers? I like it. I'm a huge fan of Rick Tocchet. I am. I think he did a great job in Vancouver. You knew the writing was on the wall for most of the season, to be honest, I think. Mm-hmm. And both teams, not only him, I say both teams, both sides, him and I think the Canucks in general needed a change. In direction. And of course, Foote is now in Vancouver, Tocchet now in Philly.
Hey, Travis Konecny is excited about it. So sounds good to me.
Oh, sure. Yeah, right?
I mean, it's if the players are excited about developing a new relationship with their new head coach. Mm-hmm. And I do think the Flyers do need that boost. I think they need somebody who's a little bit maybe less tough and demanding of accountability. I mean, you're always demanding of accountability. That's a poor way of putting it. But somebody a little less Tortorella-esque. Yeah. And he is a little less. It's not like he's a pushover, but he is a little less Tortorella-esque. And I think that's probably, it's a good fit. And also, I think Rick Tocchet's going to be great wherever he lands. if he wants to be there. The problem with him not being in Vancouver anymore, that was his decision. He didn't want to coach there anymore. So for him to face a new project, a new challenge, I think he's going to do quite well at it.
And I think for Philly, again, how long were we talking about when Tortorella was there? I mean, I spoke about this at the beginning of the season, maybe a month in. It's just not the right fit. And the way he handled Michkov, and I'm not going to tell Tortorella or any coach how you handle somebody is not the right way, because that's not me. It's just my opinion. It could have been done differently. But his time ended. Of course, we know that. So, yeah, I agree. I think it's a good hire. I really do. And this is a pivotal season for Philly. I really think it is moving forward with Flyers. Last one before DeAndre Lou joins us. Kenny Holland. Speaking of recycling, Kenny Holland now in L.A. Vic is the Kings general manager replacing Rob Blake.
Well, is it going to be Detroit general manager with cups, plural?
Hope so.
The Kings hope so. Or is it going to be more similar to the Edmonton tenure, which did not land any championships? So, hey, Ken Holland knows what he's doing, right? But he's also 69 years old. This doesn't feel like a long-term plan to me. This feels like filling the gap for a little bit, riding the ship a little bit in LA. And it feels transitory, but you can't criticize Ken Holland. Look at his resume. So if he brings the experience that he obviously brought to Detroit, cups, plural, then I think the Kings will be happy with it. We'll see. I'm very curious to see what he does, how proactive of an approach that he takes to a team that's pretty much in place this offseason. We talked to Dennis Bernstein the other day, who knows the team better than anybody, and about getting that one flashy scoring forward. And so I'm curious to see how that comes about.
The Kings, and I saw this the other day, I had forgotten about this. The Kings have not won a playoff series since 2014. It's been that long. I know they played Edmonton 100 times in the last 4 years, but it's been since 2014. And that was when they lifted the Stanley Cup in 2014. So,
and it's strange because they're such a strong team. It's the same thing with Minnesota, Ryan.
That's what I'm getting at.
It's bizarre when you think about it, because you expect them to enjoy more success, especially the way they're built. It's almost like they're built for playoff hockey, right? And they just... I wonder if sometimes you just lose games and you lose series and it just happens. I do wonder. I wonder if they can play that a series again against Edmonton. I was thinking about this with Colorado the other day too. If Colorado could play their series again, if it would end differently. But you know what? That's not how it works. The bounces are the bounces. The fortune is the fortune.
Big season for the Kings. 48 wins that they had this past year, 105 points. They won the first two against Edmonton, then they lost the last four. So yeah, I'm with you. The team is pretty much in place, but if Kenny Holland can tweak it a bit, I think the Kings will be right back to where they were a season ago. Just don't play Edmonton. That's all you got to do. Hey, Kenny, I don't care what you do. Just avoid Edmonton. That's all you got to do. We'll take a break and we will come back. DeAndre Lou covers the Tampa Bay Lightning for the Hockey News. But join us. We'll talk Tampa. But we'll also go around the Stanley Cup playoffs with DeAndre in a sec and 7-7 seconds. DeAndre's next. Bucks and Seth. Ryan Payton, Victoria McNish.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Madiash.
Okay, well, here we go. Always great to have DeAndre Lou on this program, other programs. She's been on the hot stove a number of times on Sirius XM with myself, Dennis Bernstein, and Dave Pena. Why don't we just start there? First of all, you're back. Great to have you back with us. But I think this is important that we got you today, because earlier on in the week, the greatest hot stove moment of the 24-25 season was announced to the world. And Dennis Bernstein, very quickly, DeAndre, in about half a second, said, yes, the greatest moment was when I forgot to hit the cough button, and I coughed when Ryan introduced DeAndre. So that was quite a moment. I remember your reaction, like, okay, Dennis, I haven't been introduced like that before.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm honored to even be... I remember actually when he was coughing, and he coughed for a long time. He didn't
It wasn't a singular cough. We should clarify that. It was a bit of a fit, right?
Yes, it was a coughing fit, and I kept thinking, does he know that he's just doing this on air? Like, is he just openly coughing this long on air? I don't remember what I said, but like he said, I thought there was something seriously wrong with him, and I just kept I don't remember how I responded, except I think I've said maybe, like, are you okay or something?
Yeah, I think I actually texted him and I said, do you need CPR? Like, what is happening right now with you? What is going on?
Anyway, what a moment. I'll never forget it. I'll tell you that.
You're awesome. We appreciate you coming on with us there, and also appreciate you coming on with this and this one. Okay, we're going to go 77 seconds in with you in a bit. We'll talk Tampa as well, but I want to go back to a text that you sent me, and we'll begin with this, Toronto and Florida. You sent me a text on Sunday, and it was Sunday night. I'm looking at it. It says, Toronto is reminding me of Tampa tonight. And I said, how so? You said, Florida's PK is dominating. Mm-hmm. It is lethal. And then we kind of got on to the Panthers are playing like the team that they won the cup. Forget mm-hmm. about that for a second. Your thoughts, DeAndre, on Toronto's performance in Game 5 last night?
Don't spare any language. Have at it.
No, let it go.
So I text you in Game 4, so that was a totally different situation mm-hmm. than what we saw last night. I mm-hmm. think, and this is from an outside perspective, right? Because I'm not in there covering the guys on a day-to-day basis. Totally different from what I see in Tampa. But mm-hmm. to me, as an outside perspective, they definitely gave up on themselves. Like yep. once things started to go in a certain direction, they looked checked out. With Tampa, I will say, against the Panthers, like it was brutal, but they were fighting until the very end, even mm-hmm. knowing maybe this is how it was going to go. I mean, up until the last second they were going at it. So that was the difference that I noticed with Toronto. Like we saw in the first two games, I would say the first three games, Toronto was the better team. I was Agreed. So impressed with them. I'm like, Agreed. They're shooting. There's no hesitation. The thing with the Panthers, and we know because in Tampa, like we know them very well, right? Is that I noticed with Toronto is that they weren't hesitating. They weren't trying to set up the shot. They were just shooting the puck, shooting the puck, shooting the puck. And what that does with Bobrovsky is it throws him off. He gets out mm-hmm. of position mm-hmm. and they were doing it so well. I thought for sure this was, I sound like a Leafs fan. I thought this was it. I thought this was the year.
Preach, DeAndre, preach.
What I saw, I'm so
yeah.
sorry. I'm so sorry, you guys. What I saw last night was totally different. And yeah. and what I said to you, actually, after I said Toronto's reminding me of Tampa, really what it is like the Panthers are finding their game again. Mm-hmm. And they look like the team that we saw in round one. They look like the team that we saw last year. I actually asked all the guys at exit interviews, like, did you notice anything different about the Panthers? Was there something different this year that maybe like threw you off your game a little bit? And they said they were the exact same team as they were last year.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting how both things are happening simultaneously. The Panthers are improving upon their performance as the mm-hmm. postseason wears on, and the Leafs are going in the exact opposite direction at the same time. And yeah. so that's never going to end up in a good result for the team no. that's going south, no. right? When both no. things are happening simultaneously. It's not like they're both just blowing up, right? It's
yeah, like no.
Panthers are improving and improving and improving. And they are looking, you said it. They are looking to me, last couple games in particular, like the team that hoisted the cup last year. They're looking yeah. exactly the same. They might even look a little
might
bit
even better.
Yeah. yeah. They actually, might even look better.
Because once you win the cup once, you have a different edge to you, a different confidence level. And so they may even have more confidence going into this than they did last year. And I feel for Toronto because I thought, first of all, a coaching change was mm-hmm. the right move. And I think mm-hmm. he's the right guy to do it. You can
I still
see
do
that
too.
His confidence level, he doesn't panic. And mm-hmm. again, just comparing this to Tampa, because there's so many parallels with Toronto and Tampa that I could mm-hmm. go back and forth all day long. But like,
yeah.
when you ask the guys what it is about John Cooper, they will all tell you, they literally just told me for a story. He's so calm, whether they're winning or losing, he stays the same level. Yeah, and for yeah. them psychologically, it keeps them going. So I think for the Leafs, I guess I thought this was the year that they were going to push through all the psychological stuff, because that's really what it is. It's mm-hmm. psychological.
100%.
But last night was, and it's not over. It's not over, but nope. they're going to need some guys to step up, you know?
Isn't it though?
No, hey, no, hey, no, no, no.
Not they over till it's over.
They have at least one game. Look, you wore blue today, so you know
I'm
it's not
to stay
over.
Positive,
You're
Deanna.
Doing everything you possibly no. can. Deanna and I are in black. We're in mourning.
yeah, <know. right.
laughs> That's okay.
Oh, I can see what's coming. That's all yeah. I'm going to say, you know?
Okay. So. All right. Anyway, we'll see. Another huge game, obviously, if Toronto loses tomorrow, they're done. If they do win, then they force a game 7, then anything can happen. But still, everything is going in Florida's favor right now.
I do want to say one thing, too.
Yes, please.
I will say, just with the Panthers, there was so much talk about them shutting down Kucherov and Braden Point the last mm-hmm. 2 years in the postseason, but they're doing the same thing to Matthews and Marner.
Yeah.
And it's hard to figure out and pinpoint what that is. Like there's no time and space for them to do what they do and play their game and set up plays and all of that. Like that is a huge piece to it. it's hard to tell if that's psychological with Matthews and Marner or if they're doing the same thing that they did to Kucherov and Point. But that is something to note, because if those guys, both teams, like if those guys can't produce, it's really hard to win a series against the Florida
Panthers. They're suffocating them and they're doing it effectively. Yeah. And we've seen this story before. It's nothing new.
Yeah.
17 players on the Panthers, DeAndre, have a goal in the postseason this year.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Okay, let's move on. So the Winnipeg Jets, Winnipeg Jets were in tough in the first round against St. Louis, went to game seven. They scored late in regulation, then they won it in extra time, and they move on to round two. They're down 3-1 to Dallas. Do they still have a chance? They have to win three in a row. Dallas has to win just one.
I think that goes back to the psychological stuff with them, too. I was rooting for them, but I mean, Dallas has Mika Rantanen. I have no words. Like, I don't even know how to describe what I've seen. But when you score that many goals, I mean, his confidence level is through the roof. They're not losing that series. They never were going to lose that series. And it was really fun to watch the Jets win and go to the next round. But I mean, their confidence level as well, like that's something that you notice. Like if you're going to go the long haul, you can't question yourself, you can't question your game. And Hellebuck, I mean, he was my second place vote for the Hart, you know, so I am rooting for him. But you could tell right off the bat, I mean, that's a real thing for him that he's gonna have to work through in his mind, because if he's not playing well, or if he's
playing, win on the road, he can't win on the road.
You're not gonna win. You're going nowhere in the playoffs if you can't win on the road. So
I'm also going to point out something that Ryan and I talked about in our first segment. The Winnipeg Jets have three goals in their last two games. Okay, so they still have to put the puck in the net themselves, regardless of what Hellebuck is doing between the pipes, because he wasn't that bad last game at all.
Yeah,
they have to score, and they're not scoring. So a little bit of extra credit to Rantanen has been outstanding, but credit to Jake Oettinger as well. We've all been waiting for the blow-up game, or at least a couple of them, when he was just, you know, puts in a super lousy performance that we've seen from him in the past. A hot and cold guy, generally speaking, and he has been rock steady, and I think that's been a big part of it as well.
No, I agree. Confidence, it goes such a long way too, right? Like Dallas came in. The Dallas-Colorado series last round was, I was dialed into that because, I mean, Dallas came into it with a bunch of injuries. The fact that they beat Colorado with those injuries, the confidence going into this round was, it wasn't going to be cracked. Like I just, from the start, I thought for sure Dallas is doing exactly what I expected.
Well, Nate MacKinnon said at the end of that series, he said, well, if we can't beat Dallas without Robertson Heiskanen, then we got some issues. So
I don't know what the injuries are. Yeah.
What are they going to do? Last time a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup was 1993. Edmonton is now through to the Western Final. If Winnipeg somehow gets three in a row, then we're guaranteed, at least I say we, Canada's guaranteed a Canadian team in the Stanley Cup Final. Can Edmonton, they're just flying right now. Can this team, DeAndre, win this whole thing?
It's crazy, right? When preseason, Edmonton was my pick, just the way that they played Florida and they pushed for game seven. And anytime you have Connor McDavid on your team, and Draisaitl wasn't even like a huge factor last year in the playoffs against the Panthers, but Connor McDavid willed that team to a game seven. So preseason, they were my pick, right? And then you see through the year, I'm like, they're not looking too good, right? Things aren't looking too hot. They got a couple pieces at the deadline. But what they're doing in the playoffs this year is like, I can't. How are you going to say that they can't go all the way? You really can't. And watching Corey Perry, I think it was either he just turned 40 or he's about to turn 40.
I think it was yesterday or something.
Is there something in every contract? Is there a stipulation that he has to sign with a team who either plays for the cup or who wins the cup?
Insane.
It's Tampa. It's who every team he's played for lately goes on to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. And you realize when he leaves, like when he left Tampa and I'm watching him now, I'm like, he brought so much to their lineup and so much edginess. And he's always right there. He's impressed me the most. Honestly, it's been pretty incredible to watch him. And he's playing with two absolute superstars, you know?
I think that helps.
It helps, right? But I was listening to him talk about how he has to get in their minds. Like, he has to play the way that they play. And so it is a skill, right? And he's probably got, one more year left. So we'll see what they do. But, I mean, you're not going to hear me say they're not making all the way. Like, they're probably going all the way. You might get a Canadian team at the end.
We have maybe of our last four guests, yourself included, every single one has, without prompting, brought up Corey Perry. Right, Ryan? Yep. Every single one. They haven't brought up Darnell Nurse. No, right? They haven't brought up anybody else. But every single one of them have mentioned Corey Perry. And that's how much of an impression he's making, you know. And we're talking people who represent Dennis Bernstein, who covers the Kings, right? Like it just.
I think I said this recently. He always worms himself into a conversation. Corey Perry does. Yeah.
You want to talk about zero hesitation? Like Corey Perry's right there, and he's scoring. So we'll see what happens. But I am I think we might see an Edmonton Panthers final. So we'll see.
Okay.
Let's flip to the East. And you just mentioned the Florida Panthers. Are we not giving the Hurricanes enough respect? And I mean the collective we, the hockey world we.
Do you want to see, you want to know my personal, this is yes, my you. Personal opinion. This is my personal opinion on Carolina is that I have yet to see them push through and go all the way. So every year when the playoffs come around, I think, okay, they have a great team. I do feel like this year their team is a little grittier. They're tougher. But until I see them at least one year make it all the way, they're just, I mean, we'll see what that matchup looks like if the Panthers do come out of this series and they're going up against Carolina. But for right now, they're just never my pick to make it all the way because they don't make it all the way. But they're a better team this year. So maybe we are underestimating them a little bit, to be determined.
I think a lot of people would share that opinion. I do. And I haven't heard that take before, that because they haven't reached the pinnacle, then we think, okay, well, they may win this series, but it's not like they're going to win the next two, or they're not going to win the next one to get them to that final. I've said this to Vic, and we've said this time and time again on the show, not just throughout the season, but in the first two rounds. Carolina just quietly goes about their business. Yeah, they're not flashy. They're not this sexy team to watch. Oh, every night. Wow. Did you see so-and-so? Did you see so-and-so? Oh, they won. Well, of course they did. Now they're up 3-1. It's just, they just, one of the team, I'm sure they like that too. They don't want to be the center of attention, but if they get a win's a win. It doesn't matter how you do it. And I just think that that's kind of what makes them tick.
I do think in recent years too, the path in the Metro is very different than the path in the Atlantic. Like an easier process. I don't want to say easy. It's not easy, but it's different. It's absolutely brutal in the Atlantic to get through. Just absolute beat down, brutal. No, thank you. It's different in the Metro. Like different
path. To me, is the quietest star in this league. You just you never think about it, but he just goes about doing his business and winning hockey games. I wonder if we're just going to turn around and go, "Whoa, Carolina's in the Stanley
Cup final."
They did
it,
right? Yeah.
So maybe. and we could.
We could be. Eventually, we will be proven wrong. You know, they've got a good coach too. That I'm sure he's learned from his past mistakes. Every year, I think that about Carolina. I'm like, what are they learning? What have they learned? Because they get right there, and they're always a good, consistent team. So we'll see. This could be the year.
Biggest, before we get into Tampa, biggest surprise for you during this postseason so far?
Ooh, biggest surprise.
This is my favorite question.
In the postseason with any team?
Absolutely.
Yeah, with any team. Kind of story, any team. Yeah.
I this might be really just low-hanging fruit, but Edmonton has been probably the biggest surprise. I know we talked about it. I think
people would agree with that too. Yeah.
I thought the Toronto, I honestly thought, even though, listen, I have to tell you, people from Toronto, when I would tell them all season, wow, the Leafs look so good. I think this might be their year. They tell me to be quiet because you don't say that if you're, but the way that was going, I thought that was going to be the big surprise. Like they were going to throw off the Panthers, but I would say Edmonton has been the biggest surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise. Connor McDavid is the best player in the league, but what they've been able to do, the way they've been able to push, they're not all like close games either. Like they're truly winning this series. Yeah. So
when they win, they look really good when they win. They look really good.
They're not scared. They're not doubting themselves. No. And I thought the Dallas Colorado series was, I mean, that could have gone either way. I thought Colorado was stacked, but again, how do you get rid of Mika Rantanen? And then, they're going to regret that forever. So it kind of speaks for itself, but hockey
Do you know what I heard the other day? I heard that, and again, this whole Rantanen thing just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I know that they were thinking, well, you've got McKinnon, you've got Makar's contract coming up at some point, and what's Rantanen going to do? You don't want to spend so much money on three. I get that. Yeah. I heard that there was a gap and the gap was $750,000 between what Rantanen was asking for and what the Avalanche. So you can't bridge 750 in the league is nothing. It's like an entry level deal. It's less than an entry level contract for a guy making nine, whatever it is for you. So I don't know what happened with that. I really don't.
Yeah. I don't know that it's true. I really wonder if that's true.
Yeah. Well, that's
it's
what I'm saying.
Difficult
I heard that.
To digest.
So it makes you wonder. I mean, if that's all it was, that's ridiculous. So there's got to be.
I watched the Colorado exit interviews and they said, like, he knows the number that we gave him. And, you know, it kind of seemed like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It seemed like the number wasn't that big. Like the gap was not that big. So well, I don't know. To be determined. One day we'll hear all of it, but I'm sure they regret it now.
No kidding. Tampa Bay, Nikita Kucherov. He's already working out for next year. The guy's a beast. You follow the guy, you follow the team all year. I think that that's great. And look, they didn't do as well against Florida. Obviously there were a lot of things that happened in that series, not just on the ice, but calls, and we can go into that, but we'll do that maybe another time. But I think that's great. You know, you finished up the series and right away you're thinking, let's already start in for next season.
Yeah, he was back on the ice last week. He told us
that's bananas.
He does it every year.
Take a couple of weeks and go to Cabo, man. Like, that is bananas.
It's insane. He does it every year. And the thing that's even crazier is the guys all join him. This is every year they do this. They give them the ice. They're in Brandon, which is like 15, 20 minutes from where the arena is, and they go there and they practice, and some of the guys come back, like Pat Maroon used to come back, Alex Killorn comes back every summer, and they all go and they work with Cooch. Everyone stays in Tampa now. It used to be the players, you know, would go back to Canada and do their thing. No, now they all stay in Tampa and they train with Cooch, and like they'll tell you there's a huge difference in how they play. He teaches them all the Cooch things, you know, how to pass. All the no-look passing and all that stuff. So, yeah, he's crazy. He's his own breed of human being, but I think he only speaks hockey. So that's it. That makes him happy. And, they do it every year. It's crazy.
It reminds me of Jaromir Jagr a little bit. He's just like, what else am I going to do? Right?
I think that's Cooch's. We asked him, too. We're like, well, what are you going to do in the 6 days that you take off? He said, all right.
I don't know.
Said, hang out by the pool with my kids. And that's about it. That's what he's going to do. So,
and then he's going to be bored. And then he's going to go back to the ice.
He's going to go back to hockey. And I think he has like a synthetic hockey rink in his garage or something. Like he built it in his garage. So even when he's home, he's playing hockey. So that's just Cooch. And that's how he operates. Yeah. So
it's in the blood. It's in the blood. He's a heck of a player. And you know what? I love that. And we'll get in 77 seconds. I love when players like that who are so good, they continue to work. They don't take time off. They work. They want to get better. I really have a lot of admiration.
I don't think that's an accident, though. I think they are better. And I think they are next level.
Right.
Because the Sidney Crosbys and the Nathan MacKinnons and the Nikita Kucherovs of the world are the ones who put in all the extra work.
Yeah.
And that's a big reason why they are that bit better in my mind.
Yeah. No, he lives and breathes it for sure.
Okay. 77 seconds now. We go in with DeAndre. 7 questions. Take as much time as you need. And here we go. Staying with Tampa, top off-season priority for the Lightning.
They need a couple defensemen, like big time.
Okay.
The third pairing. Got to fix it.
Third pairing. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm referencing a column here that was in the Hockey News. Not written by you, but I know you retweeted it. This is why I want to ask you this. Should the league allow for in-game video review for uncalled headshots?
Yes.
I agree.
I mean, look at what we saw. I mean, and it's this, what we saw in the first round, it's not the first time, but I will just speak on this, why I'm so adamant about this, and I'm going to keep doing stories on it all summer.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Hagel on Friday, right? So he got concussed on Monday night. We saw him on Friday, and he was still delayed in his speaking.
Oh.
Like, that hit was so bad, and so I'm just...
I hate that.
Yeah, it's not fair, and it takes away from the greatness of the playoffs. So, yes, I do believe that.
I probably know the answer to this because we talked about them. Which team comes out of the West?
It's going to be Edmonton. That's a bold,
you
roll
can't,
with it. Okay. I can't take it back. I already said it.
No, can't take it back. Nope. No, it's out there now. Edmonton it is.
Who wins the heart?
You know, I really hope this is, I'll tell you who I voted for. I'm hoping it's Kucherov. I hope this is his year, but I know a lot of people chose Hellebuck and voted that way. And I know a lot chose Draisaitl. So we'll see which way it goes. It seems like Kuch has a little bit of a more of a cushion this year than last year, but we'll see.
Do you think though, there might be some vote splitting here then? Because there seems to be two camps. There seems to be the Hellebuck camp and there seems to be the Draisaitl camp. And sometimes in those occasions, you see it when politicians are elected. The third fella just kind of, you know, wheedles his way in there and all of a sudden comes out on top. I wonder if that might be a situation to watch for this year, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's a really, really good point. You could be right. You could be right. And I think like, yeah, the Hellebuck conversation to me, not saying he didn't deserve it, he was second on my ballot, but I heard, mm-hmm. I started hearing that like later and later in the season. So you mm-hmm. would think like the people Agreed. Who were set on Kuch or set on Kuch and that wasn't going to change. I don't know. We'll see how the votes pan out, but you could be right on with that.
I voted for Kucherov. I wanted Kucherov to win last year. So mm-hmm. I still, even if it's just a make do for last year, I want him to win it again this year. I think he is the MVP. I just do.
Yeah, I agree.
No, I agree. And if you vote for Connor, just make sure you bet. Don't put a Hellebuck down on it just in case you end up losing. I know. DeAndre, look, I held you on for 23 minutes. So just be thankful. I know. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You had to do it.
I know I did. Your favorite non-Tampa story this season in the NHL? Your favorite non-Tampa story season?
Ovechkin's record or the Columbus story or Washington, something outside of Tampa.
Obviously, the Ovechkin story was great, but that's like mm-hmm. an easy one. Can I tell you what I was hoping? I was hoping Columbus would make the playoffs.
Same.
Yeah. I really, really was. I think that the way the league embraced Gaudreau's parents, and I just thought that was so incredible, and it's what makes the sport great. And I was really hoping that they could push through and make it into the playoffs. So that's what I wanted to be my favorite story. But the Ovechkin, I mean, that's, what are you going to say? Like that was the story of the year, right?
Yeah,
agreed. It's a story of three decades, really.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How long we were waiting for that to happen.
Yeah.
This next one is a little bit selfish on my behalf because I just want to know the answer to it. What's your favorite sport outside of hockey?
Ooh. Well, I was a gymnast for 12 years. So, which gymnastics is, I mean, I follow it year round always, not just in Olympic years, but obviously when the Olympics come around, I'm just the happiest human on earth. But, you know, doing it for so long, it's definitely my favorite sport. But I also love football. So
that's what I thought. Football,
Yeah. I guess I don't talk about doing gymnastics like for a really long time, but I love it. Yeah. But football is, when football comes around, I'm very happy.
Who's your
and
team?
Vic, we're both 49ers fans.
Yeah. No, we are. No, we're not.
Yeah,
we are not both 49ers fans. You two are.
Us two, not you.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like, I am not.
No.
You're a Bills fan, right?
I'm a Pats Bills fan. I know they play in the same division. I'm not going to get into it, but I'm a Patriots
that's
and a Bills
brutal,
fan.
That's brutal, though, because if you're a Bills fan and a Leafs fan, like that is, they're cut from the same cloth.
Oh, wow.
Thanks, DeAndra. You know, I just renewed my season's tickets this week, right?
You're a good person, you know?
She is. Oh, wow.
I am a good person.
The heartache with those teams. Okay, last one. We can't have this segment without talking about that wonderful dog of yours. Describe Steve's best day. Describe his best day. What the best day in Steve's life?
I'm looking at him right now. I'm so glad you brought Steve up. I never can go on a show without anyone bringing up Steve. Like he's
on his part of you. I love it. Yes.
Steve's best day. He likes to go to the coffee shop. So in Tampa, downtown Tampa is, I don't know, everyone knows everybody down here. So like if I take Steve anywhere, people will say hi to him. They won't say hi to me. They'll just say hi to Steve. So I took him to the coffee shop last weekend and we were walking in to pick up my coffee and some guy was reading a newspaper and he said, "Hey, Steve," and then just kept reading the newspaper. So I was like, "Hi." So
Amazing. That's
his best day is going to, he likes to go to the coffee shop and then he likes to go to the beach. So if he can do that, that's his favorite. He likes a good farmer's market too, but yeah. That's a great day for Steve.
Great day for you as well. I can tell.
Me.
I can imagine. Exactly. Deandra, thank you for this. Always great to have you on, whether it's the show or other ones. And Victoria Bills and the Leafs fan. Glad you brought that up to me.
Cheering program, for you, though, so. Victoria. I really am rooting for you as a person.
As a person.
As a human.
I don't know how that makes me feel.
Vic, as
you're
a human.
You're a loyal, dedicated human, and I appreciate that.
Thank you, Deandra.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.